coffee.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Joe at RT.ie and 51551 is our text number. Eileen Macken, who you heard on the programme, well, it was her third time to be in the programme. A year ago, she contacted us looking. She was 81 at the time, looking for her mother, her birth mother. Obviously, at 81, the chances of your mother, who would probably be in her early 20s when you were born, being alive decreased by the year, to say the least. Then she contacted us 9 months later. Following the programme, a genealogist contacted her and set to work. She found her mother in Scotland, and last week they actually met, as she told us, for the first time a few weeks previously. And they spoke on Saturday. Her mother was 104 on Saturday, and Eileen rang Elizabeth, and they had a great chat by all accounts. Now, this has prompted a number of calls. John is on the line. John, good afternoon. Hello,
yeah,
John.
I'd say so, yeah.
John, can you hear Joe?
Oh, am I here? Hello? Sorry, yeah.
John, good afternoon.
How are you? Yeah.
How are you?
Yeah, all right, yeah.
Okay, your call is, where am I from? What do you know about yourself, and what are you trying to find out, John?
Yeah, I'm just trying to find out, I suppose, I read your article there in the paper, you know, about the woman finding her mother and that.
Yeah,
my idea. I thought, yes, maybe a hole for me then, you know. I never knew my mother or anything like that, you know.
And what do you know about yourself?
I know I was born in Tullamore in a hospital down there. I don't know, I'm not sure. I know it's the old folks' home now.
Okay.
Because that's the last time I went down and they couldn't tell me. Listen, I've no proof of anything whatsoever. Like, I went from there, that place. I was up to 5 years of age with a group of other lads, young lads. And we went to there to the Sisters of Charity in Drogheda.
Okay.
And then I was there till the age of 10. And then I went from there to Artane. And I was there till the age of 16.
So what year were you in Artane, John, do you know?
Well, a few years of age. I was born in 47. I must have been 57. So
57,
you know.
Yeah, and you were there, what, 62?
63, 60, I suppose,
yeah, okay. And what was Artane like?
Well, it wasn't very pleasant, to say the least, you know.
Okay.
It was rough, by that way, you know, in them days, you know. But there was a lot of other people that were the same as myself, you know. They had no parents, or if they had, they were put in there for a while anyway, whatever.
And had you any relatives there? Sometimes their brothers or...
Oh, God, no.
Okay.
I don't remember. No one whatsoever.
Had you any friends there?
I had a lot of friends, yeah.
Great.
We all had to say long common, you know. We're, you know.
So you left Artane...
Yeah.
And where did you go then?
I went walking, and I couldn't keep a job because I was all mixed up on that, you know, and I couldn't fit in. And I suppose I missed the crowd in Artane and that, you know, being with a lot of that. But I went back to, well, I could be frustrated, you got into a bit of trouble, and I went back to Artane, and then from there I went to a hostel in Eccles Street,
I was in charge there, and I
got into trouble there as well. I couldn't pay in anywhere, so I went from there. Then the judge made me join the army. Then can't get into the army now, be just the looks of it, but I was my joiner. And after that, I got married then to a lovely girl, lovely woman. And
so you were given. You said the judge gave you two options: go to jail, or join the army.
Yeah.
So you joined the army?
Yeah, because, well, I don't know, I didn't like the idea of going to jail, you know, and that.
Of course, yeah.
Although, that's what I know, a good lot of lads were there anyway, you know.
So what documentation, John, because you say your quest is to try and find out more about, because you have your own grandchildren now, to try and find out more about where I'm from. You have a Sisters of Charity piece of parchment, date of birth, April 47, date of confirmation.
Oh, I haven't even got that, excuse me.
Yeah.
I haven't even got, in actual fact, what the only thing I have of me or my, if it's true, is a confirmation certificate.
Oh, that's what I have, yeah, sorry.
A confirmation certificate.
26th of May, 1955.
Correct.
Sponsor Miss Lily Kelly.
Yeah, I don't even know who she is, to be honest with you.
Well, that's a name, that might help.
Yeah, I see that there, yeah.
And then it's signed Michael Dormian.
I don't even know who that is.
Well, if you can decipher it, I think that is Michael Dormian, chaplain.
Well, priest. And yeah, I hold it now. I sent a priest down there. Well, I asked him, Father, Father Fleming from the army here. And I asked him, because I was getting married, I was getting married to my wife anyway. And I asked him would he check on it. He said he would. And he went down there to try and check. But they said that the place was burnt and the book had just happened to be there. But what was puzzling to me was the fact that there's a lot of names there, but yet my name wasn't there anyway, put it that way. So that's why I was told. So.
Now, John, have you done anything else to try and find out more about...
Yeah, I went down myself and my wife. And,
yeah.
And we didn't find a whole town anyway.
And
know?
Where did you go?
Tullamore as well, the old folks' home. That's where it was then.
And that's your first memory of that building?
Yeah.
And who has the records from...
Don't know. Couldn't elaborate on it whatsoever. They said that there was a fire.
And the sisters...
So I know it's wasting me time.
Okay,
but I know the place. The funny thing about it, after all them years, didn't know the...
You recognised it.
Yeah, I recognised it. Funny thing, yeah.
And who has the records for the Sisters of Charity St. Vincent de Paul and Drogheda?
Yeah, St. Vincent de Paul and Drogheda, that's right, yeah.
But who has those records?
Well, because I don't know. Well, they no records of me. There's no records of my baptism service, so it was confirmation they gave out to the Father Clement. That's what they gave. The only thing they had was confirmation. They hadn't got... I actually think I got baptized there. I remember... I don't know. I can't... I'm a bit...
Okay. And you don't know if you have any brothers or sisters?
No, I really would. I'd love to know that.
And how many children do you have, John?
Yeah, four lovely kids. Four children. Well, my missus. I have eight grandkids, and I adore them. I love them. I idolize them.
Of course you do. You have eight grandchildren. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, now I know you don't want to give out your second name because of your own privacy. But in terms of what I'd say is to any genealogist listening, John has very little information about himself. He has this confirmation cert. There is his name, Lily Kelly, on it, sponsor on the 26th of May, 1955. If anyone knows Lily Kelly that was around on 26th of May, there's lots of Lily Kellys, unfortunately, in Ireland in that sense. 26th of May, 1955. That might be a key. But there are very few clues, aren't there, John? Isn't that the problem?
Yeah, it's not a
whole
one anyway. There's nothing really.
Okay. Well, we put it out there and let's see. It was the same with Eileen. She had absolutely nothing. She'd been searching for nearly 30 years at that stage and she eventually managed to find her mother against all odds. Okay, John, thanks indeed. 51551.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And 51551 is our text number. Judy Marr. Judy, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Why did you why did you decide to do a DNA test?
I did a DNA test in 2013. Yeah, I think as you know there, I was born in 1946.
Mm-hmm.
And quite a privileged background, might I say, and kind of grew up, went to school, got married, and then I suppose the first kind of rumblings about as to where I came from, I really found out, first of all, from my first cousin, who now lives in England, and then from her mother, who is my aunt. So, I went, she was living in Los Angeles at the time, so I went over in 1998 to her, and she kind of told me, you know, in certain terms, that I wasn't belonged to. I wasn't my mother's child or her sister's child, so I came to do a DNA test. I think now, a DNA test. Yeah, I mean, that was 1998, I suppose. Really, what put me off for a lot of time, Joe, was that I got a hold of which I have it actually here in front of me, of my long birth cert, and kind of my adoptive parents' names are on that, and... Then it does say further down that I was born on 107 Marlborough Road, Dublin, and Violet Rooney was present at the birth, also Dr. Raymond Cross. Now, I suppose with that bit of information, and then I suppose one day I just decided to ring DNA Ireland, and their offices, well, at that time in 2013, were down in Cork, and I did a maternal ancestry DNA, is a particular word for it, I don't know how to describe it now, And I did it. I did the DNA test, and also my first cousin did a DNA test, because I know this is kind of complicated, but her mother and my mother were sisters, and they could trace the DNA back to, obviously, they hopefully they had the same mother, if you're with me, Joe. So
yeah.
I did that in 2013, and it came back absolutely negative, I think 99.9% negative. That, and I have that here in front of me. The individuals tested do not share a common female ancestor. Now, if I can... Are you still with me, Joe?
Yeah, loud and clear. Oh, but one thing I did want to ask you. You said your aunt in the States let you know in no uncertain terms. That sounds cruel.
Well, I mean, I went over because I'd heard rumblings, rumours,
okay.
that I wasn't the child of my parents. And she was quite an outspoken person, shall we say, my aunt. And I went over to her, and she told me there and then there was no way that she had called to my mother's house, I think, 2 or 3 days after I was born. There's no way that she'd just given birth, that I was not. And she said then it was kind of was well known around Dublin, as that I came from Dublin Four, that I wasn't my mother's child. Also, I think, if I can just say this to you, I got a letter there from the maybe this spells it out to maybe somebody who's listening, from the Adoption Authority of Ireland, August 2015. They checked the records and confirmed there is no record of my adoption. The information you provide suggests that you are registered, and this is the whole point of it really, Joe. You are registered at as the natural child of Mr. and Mrs. Marr. It is likely, therefore, that your birth was subject to a practice known as direct registration. This practice was relatively common, albeit illegal, before the introduction of the Legal Adoption Act in 1953. So really, Joe, what I think are led to believe, and I know there was an article in the Irish Times a good few years ago, literally you're handed over, like I said, you know, the unmarried mother gave birth.
It was a private adoption.
Yeah.
Organised, we don't know organised by whom.
I would imagine, I think he's deceased now in the last couple of years, I would say it was organised by Dr. Raymond Cross. My parents were very friendly with Dr. Cross, and he was known at that time to be very, I don't know what the right word is now, but to be, you know, to be good with unmarried mothers, which, you know, in the late 60s just wasn't heard of, you know, unmarried mothers were banished, for the want of a better word, but he was particularly kind to them, and I would reckon that he set it up. Yes, I would think so. Yeah.
With the best of intentions?
Yes.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, because I actually have a letter from him, just looking it out earlier, which when I was pregnant myself with my first child in 1969, I have a letter from Dr. Cross. I went to him because I knew he was a gynaecologist, and he said, just take good care of Judy. I delivered her in 1946, but he didn't give any, unfortunately. I didn't have a clue, Joe. I didn't know till I was around 50 that I was adopted. And what made it all the more even poignant was that my brother was adopted, but we all knew that he was adopted, and I wasn't told that I was, so I had no inkling.
Did you ask your parents when you discovered these rumours and heard these rumours?
But they were dead.
But they were dead, okay.
Yeah, my mother died in 1966, and my father, I know, he went off and took the Jesuits in 1971, so... yeah, I didn't. I wish I did know when he was still alive. That was 1982, so I would have been...
So, Judy, what clues have you got?
Well, the only clues I have really are... And I also went, Joe, to Bernardo's, and I don't know whether he's still working there. He was very helpful to me. Andrew Walker was very helpful, and he tried to trace the Rooneys, you know, in 107 Marlborough Road, because... I would imagine. Now we're going back to 1946.
Now, where does Rooney and 107 Marlborough Road come in?
Yeah, well, that's where I was born. It was a private nursing home.
Ah, okay.
And Violet Rooney, actually, they lived there. And I know Andrew Walker from Barnardo's gave me a bit of did a bit of tracing, whereas Violet Rooney is now dead, but obviously she had children herself. But yeah, it was a private nursing home, and I would imagine at that time. In 1946, there would have been records, but I mean, where, I mean, you know, 72 years ago now, you know, so it was my daughter, very nicely, was interested to know, or so am I myself, to try and get to the bottom of it, but just...
You mentioned your date of birth, 29th of the 10th, 1946,
yeah.
your full name at birth given, well, this is obviously, the surname is your adoptive family, Judith Mary Marr.
That's right.
And you're hoping even those ideas might, those those little bits of information might...
Yeah, I said that we, you know, I lived in Dublin for just with my parents and my one brother who was adopted as well, you know. So, but he, there was no secret about that.
But how, like, you're saying your parents told, said out loud, so to speak, the your brother was adopted.
Oh, yes.
But did you ever say, well, am I adopted?
No. No, I remember, I know, looking back in hindsight, I remember I was 16 years of age and even remember she told me at lunchtime, I remember when she told me, it was Ascension Thursday, it was a holy day anyway, and I just, no, it just never, unfortunately, it never dawned on me, no, but apparently my aunts knew at the time, but didn't say anything, it was all covered up, you know, so, no, I did, so, as I say, unfortunately, I don't, because I've, you know, unlike Eileen, I wasn't in the Bethany house or anywhere like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, where
you
there know, would be.
It was that, given to my parents.
Okay, say with us, Judy, for a sec. By the way, have any other brothers or sisters?
Do I have?
Yes.
No, I just have one brother that was adopted.
Oh, okay. Let me bring Carl Ruttle in and in Bangor. Carl, good afternoon. You've been looking for your mother or father for how long, Carl?
Oh, hi, Joe. How are you? Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I've been looking for in the region of maybe over 20 years for my biological parents. I did initially go through a company called Pact there in Nutgrove in Dublin, who are incredible.
Okay.
They did manage to locate my biological mother.
That's parents and children together, Pact.
That is correct, yeah. Fantastic organisation, I must say. But regrettably, the reaction that they were provided by my biological mother was a big no. She didn't want to get in contact. Mm-hmm. And it's really just the ongoing search for my biological father to see if I was able to get in touch with him somehow. So, yeah, it's been a long search.
And what clues do you have?
Very little. I was actually born in one of the Magdalen homes there in Donnybrook in 1972. And I had very little information which was provided to me by the Magdalens. They were left actually with the social services as it was. And I was literally given her first name, which I'm not entirely sure is even real. She was known as Gladys. My biological parent was, my father was called Robert. And Gladys had initially wanted to call me Raymond.
Okay.
But other than that, the information has been, I know it's out there, but I can't get hold of it. I'm not allowed to get hold of it. And as I say, it's really just in the hope that perhaps somewhere in the country might be Gladys or might be Robert and they may be listening.
But you did, as you say, you did... find your biological mother, but...
Yeah, she didn't want to know, and I respect that completely
because
I know it was a very painful story for her to get to that stage, you know.
And was there any communication, now obviously not directly, but what was the communication, if you wish to tell us, between your mother and the, I presume it was packed, the parents and children together, was it a short communication or was it...
It was one letter. A very short letter, maybe about eight lines long, perhaps, where she very clearly, you know, stated that she would refer to myself or the baby as it. She wanted no contact, no communication. There was too much pain. And, you know, I think for her, obviously, it's been incredibly traumatic. And people need to remember, obviously, as you know yourself, Joe, through doing what you do, the biological parents go through a lot of pain and a lot of hurt, you know. So it was a very painful letter, unfortunately.
And painful for you to hear, I presume, and read.
Very painful. But I have to respect that. And I think, you know, the whole reason for me searching for them was essentially to thank them, you know, for giving me the opportunity of a better life. And the parents that I have at the moment they're wonderful parents. But, you know, that was the sole reason for wanting to reach out and to meet her and to be able to say thank you and to tell her that I love her. There was no vengeance there to ask the questions. I don't need to, because I know that her journey was painful, and she didn't have much choice But, you know, for me as an adopted child, to be able to sort of look and see who I look like, where I came from, yeah. You know, minor things like that, which are very irrelevant to most people, but very pertinent to myself, you know.
And given, Carl, that you're saying to your mother across the airways, to your birth mother, your parents are your parents now, and you love them, as you say. Given that you're saying to your birth mother, I didn't mean to upset you, I just wanted to reach out. Can you, for her to know who you are, you'd have to give me your date of birth. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
Do you wish to give me your date of birth?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the 26th of the 4th, 1972.
Okay. Well, that's people remember when their children were born. Relatively recently, Carl. Relatively recently. Yeah. And how are you doing now?
Doing grand. Doing grand. I did go through some painful times, obviously, which is understandable. But doing absolutely grand. I've got two beautiful daughters myself.
Brilliant.
So life is good. So this, if you like, is just to close a chapter, if you like. But just to let her know, as I say, if she or my biological father have no wish to get in contact, I respect that. But just for them to know that they're loved and how much gratitude I have for them.
Okay, we'll bring you into the world. Okay, that's Carl Ruttle in Bangor. Thanks indeed, Judy Marrows before that. Mark McGrath's on sound. Laurie Davis is BCO. David O'Sullivan, producer. Hugh Ormond is a series producer. And Ray Darcy is next.